Welcome to the Gene Oliver Podcast, where we talk all things business, art, and lifestyle. This is your podcast for building a more creative life. I created a free resource and mini workbook just for you. 10 tips to take back the peace for a more beautiful life. A free ebook if you're looking for some rest in your day-to-day like I was. Go to GeneOliver.com/10tips to get your free resource. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at GeneOliver.com, where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gene Oliver, and today I'm talking with Heather Bullard. Heather owns a media production company, which includes editorial prop styling for interiors magazines, location scouting, and business coaching. I don't remember a time when I was not being inspired by Heather. Her eye, what she creates, and what she puts out into the world is my gold standard across the board. She is my dear friend and mentor, and it is a joy to talk with her today. Heather, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jean. I'm thrilled to be here, and I've been looking forward to it.
I know, me too. So Heather, before we start diving into my questions for you, would you take a minute and just tell everybody a little bit about you and about what you do?
Sure. I am an editorial prop stylist and location scout for interiors magazines and a business coach for creatives.
All right. Well, you are a sought after stylist. And what is the story behind you beginning this journey?
Well, if we want to go back way, way back, I can remember when I was probably and, you know, your mom put you down for a nap and you end up rearranging her bookcases and all of her shelves and moving the books and all the whatnots. But professionally speaking, I had an interior design business for many years and I started photographing my own projects. And those were picked up by some, you know, local magazines, and then regionals would pick them up, and then national would pick them up. And it just sort of snowballed from there.
You work with magazines constantly. What are you looking for in a space that you want to pitch to a magazine?
I'm looking for something that is inherently unique about the home in the way that it serves the family. So that could be in how they design the spaces. It could be why they live in the home. It could be the architecture. It could be the history of the place. Just something that speaks specifically to how they live in the space. Editorial speaking, we're looking for color. We're looking for graphic qualities that will look good in will look good in print. Mm-hmm. And you know, just something that's original.
Yeah. What do you think are a few areas where people are following trends without seeing if it is a good fit for their home or lifestyle, and that's why they're not happy with it in the long run? This constantly updating and buying and not being content with what they're putting into their space.
Well, I think there's two sides to this. You know, one is that spaces evolve. I think that just as you live in a space, it will evolve naturally. One of them takes time and has a purpose, and the other, not being content, is just to fill a void. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to, you know, live in a space for a while and see how it suits you. And I don't know, I like to decorate very gradually, like a mm-hmm. turtle. Mm-hmm. Very, very slow. But yeah, I think the difference is just evolving versus filling a void.
And I think what's great about that too is that when you find that piece, then it feels like a treasure, which it's supposed to feel like. Then you're finding that perfect piece, or that perfect piece of art, or because you took your time to gradually find it. And I love that. And it gives you something to still look for. Don't you love that?
Oh, the thrill of the hunt should be like emblazoned on all my clothing.
Yes, yeah, I agree. What are your top five for making a home feel special and to reflect the hearts and lives of the homeowners?
Number one is anything vintage, thrifted, anything from a flea market, antique store, something with a history. Number two would be art. Original is my favorite. The third one would be mementos or souvenirs that you have from travels or family gatherings, or just something special that takes you back to a time and place that you were mm-hmm. loving life. The fourth one would be anything handmade or handcrafted. I feel like that just gives a soul and spirit to an object. And the fifth one would be nature. Mm-hmm. Anything from outdoors.
Yeah. Oh, I love those. And I agree with them. What are your thoughts on social media? The good, the bad, when it comes to design in our own homes, and kind of what we see all the time, and what we're kind of, we can be inundated with all of these ideas all of the time, but there's good that comes from it, but also there's that downside. So what are your thoughts on that?
What I think is that we have a sea of sameness. Meaning, you know, like you were saying, you're scrolling and you're seeing so much of the same things. And I think a lot of it has to do with people, you know, there's that likability factor, doing what's popular, what people are loving, and fear of going against that kind of trend or that flux of coverage that we're constantly being bombarded with imagery. I think that, you know, as an editor, we see so many houses that are like literally carbon copies of the other. I've even had homes pitched to me that will show me like a bedroom, and the bedroom is exactly the same bedroom that we had in a previous month. And then they'll say, see, it's just like this one. But, you know, magazines are looking to set trends. They want to create trends. They don't want to repeat them.
Right.
And so, you know, we're always looking for something that has that quality that's different. And with social media, you know, with swipe ups making it so easy, you can kind of just produce the exact same look with, I mean, a few clicks on your phone.
Yeah.
But then you don't have any, I see a lot of beautiful spaces that lack soul, mm-hmm. that have no soul to them at all. Mm-hmm. Very, very beautiful homes. And there's just no soul to them.
And so when you say soul, you're going back to some of the things that you just mentioned that you think are what makes a home reflect the heart of the homeowner. So it goes back to vintage and original art, and it shows that they've lived a life. So whether you have a bowl of driftwood or rocks that you've collected, right?
Yeah, you have to infuse your own spirit, your own creativity, your own likes. You have to infuse that into your home. It's one thing to buy a pillow that you saw on a friend's sofa and say, oh, I have to have that pillow. It's another thing to duplicate entire spaces exactly the same. And I just think that I think people feel a risk. I think there's also inexperience and maybe lack of not knowing how to do it.
Right.
And not trusting their own instincts. And boy, I wish people would just free themselves of that and buy something weird.
Yeah.
You know, take a chance on some strange color that's unique to you, or that you found on the wall of an old building on a travel that you were on. I don't know. I just feel like I really want to see that being more embraced.
Yeah.
More embraced.
And I think too, for people to, your woods don't all have to match, and you don't have to have all painted furniture, and to mix and be eclectic. And I always feel like if you love it, if you see it someplace and you love it, most likely it's going to work in your space all put together. And so,
yeah, and I think with social media, you know, all of your followers are not going to be in your home. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be sitting around your table. They're not going to be sitting with you when you're reading a book in the morning or having coffee in the afternoon. It's the family that lives there, who dwells in the home, who visits the home. That's who you want to aim to. Not please is not the word, but you want to reflect those people.
Right. Give me a trend you completely followed and now you cringe when you look back on it.
Oh, that's such a bad word. I don't know about cringe, but I think that, you know, styles change.
Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, I'm speaking from a woman's perspective, you know, as you mature, you know, in your 20s, you're just starting out, you have very low budget. So you're mm-hmm. just buying, you know, whatever you can at IKEA or thrifting or whatever. You're just trying to make do. Then in your 30s, you sort of got, maybe you've got a small family or maybe you've got significant others. And so you're sort of like trying to create a space for those people. Then in your 40s, maybe your children are growing up and you're trying to find, you know, that creative side of you again. I just feel like there's seasons to a woman's life and to a mm-hmm. home. And so I try not to look back on those choices that I made with shame or with, you know, that cringe word. I try to just think that, you know, that served me really well when I was in that space and I learned from it. And I learned what I loved and what I didn't love. And I can take with me that which hangs on with me and leave behind, you know, those that didn't speak to me.
I know when I was newly married and a young mom, like Martha Stewart was like such an inspiration to me. I remember like reading every book, trying to make my cabinets look like hers, probably driving Kelly nets, you know, trying to learn how can I fold a fitted sheet, which I'm telling you, I have given up on that.
I tried the same tutorial.
Yes, I think we all did. But so who inspires you? You've been such a great source of inspiration for so many. I mean, I can see you being inspired by people who are kind of walking out their own style. I bet you're very inspired by people that aren't afraid to do their own thing. Is there anybody that has been more like a mentor to you?
I wouldn't say that I've had a specific mentor. I really do. I'm inspired by makers. Anyone who's making with their hands, whether they're painting art or they're sewing or they're making pottery, because usually those with their hands are then bringing it into their homes. I would say I'm more inspired by not necessarily who, but what. So my surroundings, my travels, architecture, a lot of the colors in my own home reflect, I travel to France quite often, so they reflect a lot of the colors that you'll see in the French countryside. And then I live in California, and a lot of those colors are the same in California, those textures I bring into my home. But it's more of my surroundings that I'm inspired by than a specific person.
Mm-hmm. Well, so many designers and even homeowners want to get their home featured in a magazine. You recently created Pitch Your Project. Can you explain to our listeners what it is and why this was so important for you to provide this for your community?
Well, I think that a lot of people, there's a lot of mystery that shrouds the editorial world. And I think a lot of people don't understand how to actually be featured in a magazine. And I think that it just gives you the foundations of what editors are looking for and maybe what your website needs, how to approach editors and stylists and photographers and location scouts, and the do's and don'ts on how to approach them. But it just gives you sort of like basically it's like a mentoring session with me, I guess, and a sit-down session. I give you all of my secrets and my experience in 15, 20 years of editorial world.
And I don't think that this is just for designers. I think it's for the average homeowner that has a unique space and wants to see if it can be in a magazine too. So I think what's really great about Pitch Your Project is that it is for the professional, but it's also for the everyday person that loves design, loves their home, wants to share it. And I think that's what's fun about this project also.
Oh, thank you. I hope that it helps many people.
I think one of the most dreamy things you do is the Academy. And so can you talk about it and why next year will be your last?
The Academy is a week-long styling and photography workshop in France, and it's specifically for creatives. I've had women from all over the world, Amsterdam, England, Mexico, Canada, the United States, Australia, and we gather together for a week and we visit brocantes and we find our props to style with, and we go to beautiful UNESCO World Heritage sites and villages, and we just embody the French lifestyle while we're there. And I feel like what it does, it gives women, it takes them out of their everyday routine, and it's such a sensory overload that it really sparks creativity. Mm-hmm. So you've got stone buildings and ancient history, and you've got beautiful food and beautiful vineyards, rolling vineyards just for miles. And I feel like it It gives women a sense of, I don't know, like a renewed sense of what they want to do with their creativity, with their styling and their photography. A lot of times I've had people that have owned bakeries and interior designers and people that are transitioning careers. I've had home decor bloggers. I've had just all kinds of women that are, you know, seeking some inspiration. I've done it for about 6 or 7 years now, and we had to postpone this year's to next year because of COVID. So I just feel like it's time to say farewell. Mm-hmm. And I have big plans for this year or for next year.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And I think there's something so special about being immersed in what you've created there. And what I love too is that you've gone back to the same place year after year. So where everyone stays, these are people that are now dear friends. And so I feel like what you're doing is taking people by the hand and saying, come on an adventure with me to the most beautiful place where I know the best place to get a cappuccino. I know the best place to get to go to the markets. I know the best place to buy linens, and I'm going to introduce you to some of my sweet friends in France. And I think that's what I always feel that your words and your heart and your imagery actually shows too. And so it's your deep love for that area and that you're sharing it with people that you let into that world. And so I think that's a really big gift to anybody who comes.
Thank you.
Well, I have to talk about our business mastermind group. Okay. So, cause it's been one of the biggest gifts to our business, and I really had no idea how much I actually needed it. I don't think I realized how much I needed this group of women. And so would you just share a little bit about it, why you wanted to start it in the first place? Maybe even what's been your takeaway so far, and can we please never stop it?
No, let's don't.
Let's not.
Well, I started it because, you know, every maybe 3 years or so, I spend maybe 4 or 5 weeks throughout that year reinvesting back in my business. And that means going to conferences or going to workshops or things like that, just to sort of reinvest and reinvigorate just myself and my business. And aside from that, my business was sort of isolating in a way. I do have an assistant that works for me out of the studio, but for the most part, I was just running solo for many years. And I know that there are some really big power hitters, you know, companies that are making tens of millions that are, their leaders are in mastermind groups and they still found them beneficial. But I never felt like there was a good fit for me as a creative entrepreneur. So I just decided that I would just seek out women that owned creative businesses and see if they wanted to join my mastermind group. And so we talk about, you know, what's working in our business, what isn't working, and try to give each other helpful feedback, positive and, you know, maybe not so positive, to help us grow and to work through our issues, and mostly for encouragement. And what I feel has been most valuable is camaraderie, people that have walked through what I'm walking through, maybe on a different path, but similar. And accountability is mm-hmm. really fierce. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, just saying, this is what I'm going to do this week. And mm-hmm. next week you have to kind of like say whether or not you actually did it. And even mm-hmm. though I'm very self-motivated and I've built a pretty large company, I still would be able to like not be as productive, I guess mm-hmm. you should say, without the accountability. So iron sharpens iron. Yeah.
Well, and I think originally we were going to meet quarterly and then COVID. And then we started meeting on Zoom weekly. And don't you just think that changed everything?
Absolutely. You know, when I started it, I only wanted to meet quarterly because I know that my schedule is very, very hectic, especially when we're in production and I'm flying all over the country. And so I didn't want to have other people feel that, you know, there was this big obligation. But I see now that it was such a blessing that we were forced in a way to meet weekly. And especially going through COVID, all of our businesses had different challenges. And so it's been really enlightening to see how we worked through those, sat with our decisions, got feedback on our decisions, and helped each other just listen a lot of times.
Every single person in the group, because the you can see the difference. And even just because we've walked out with them, like they were making decisions, but decisions that had huge impact on their businesses. And I'm not sure we would have made the decisions as clearly and with as much confidence. And so I would just recommend, if you are listening and you are a business owner, to find other women that, that are doing it also. And don't worry if you're not all in the same area. I actually think that's good, you know, to be diverse and to have different areas of businesses and to meet up and to encourage one another and share your favorite tools, but share what's not working, share what is working. And because there is amazing power in building people up and to build each other up, but also to have, like you said, that accountability, you know.
And if you are thinking of creating a group for yourself and invite others to join, I would recommend finding people in a similar still, let's say you just started out and you want to find other people that are just starting out versus someone that's maybe been in business 10 years. And the reason for that is that you can kind of make, you're all walking through similar things that are happening within your business, even if you don't have the same business. Whereas if you had experience levels that are so varying,
that's right,
it can sway one way or the other, and someone's giving too much advice and becoming reliant on one person. And there's really a lot of beauty and synergy in having this group dynamic of people that are going through things. And we use what's called the Gestalt Protocol, which is basically you give advice and feedback based on your own experience, not on something that you heard.
Oh, absolutely. Because then you can stand behind it, and then you can also explain why. And that's so valuable to other business owners really needing to make decisions too. We are both a 5 on the Enneagram. So we both teased often that if we call each other to run through a problem, we may feel like we're talking to ourselves. So this is just another tool, obviously, the Enneagram, for understanding ourselves, and is never meant to put anyone in a box. But if anything, it shines a light on some of the areas we may not think about, and it can allow us to grow. So as you have learned more about your type, what part of yourself have you realized you can grow and change while honoring this part of yourself? For me, there were areas that I always thought were so different and weird, but through the lens of the Enneagram, I see that they're really special parts of who I am. So what about yourself? What are, like...
Well, I think... I've just started learning the Enneagram in the last maybe year, like probably most of America, if not the world. And I think what it gave me was maybe confirmation on nuances about my personality and how I lived through my life, that I maybe wasn't sure. You know, I wasn't sure why I, you know, I'm an introvert. And so those tendencies to kind of... pull back or, you know, have so much time to yourself. I used to think that it was a bad quality about myself, and I would feel guilty that I didn't want to just, you know, I don't know, be the life of the party. So I think it was just confirmation and things that I didn't understand about my personality or that I felt defensive about. And so I think that it just gave me clarity, and not that you need permission to be yourself, but it gave me, I don't know, a sense of calmness about those areas. And then it also helped me to understand, you know, we've had parties and friends over, and we all make them take the Enneagram test just for fun. And then we all guess their numbers before their number becomes available to them on the internet or whatever. And usually I can guess everyone's Enneagram. So it's been kind of fun doing that. So
Well, and I think for me as a five, definitely more of an introvert, love to be at home. People like can wear me out. I don't get energized by people like some people do. But what it also reminded me of was that it's okay for me to say no to things that I really don't want to do. But then it was also a reminder that even if there's something that someone's asking me to do, and this is a person I love, this is a person that I can get out of what I maybe would want to do, and to do that for them, because it might be my nature just to stay home or to not do those things. And so I think it gave me permission to like, no, that's, I absolutely don't want to do that. And I feel good about that, but also like, all right, this person actually needs this from me and I really love them. And this is a sweet way for me to respect them. And so I'm going to get out of my comfort zone or my norm because I love them too. And so, and there's been lots of experiences like that, that I've thought about, you know,
I think also I can get into a research loop, you know, mm-hmm. as a five, you love to learn and read and, you know, books are your friends. And mm-hmm. so I can get into, if I've got a project going on, then I can get into this really long research loop of how a thousand ways I can go about doing it and the best way to do it and all of those kinds of things. And so it's made me realize that, you know, at some point you just have to stop.
Right.
Research and just do it, and all of that can be a form of procrastination.
Yeah. Because there's always more to learn. There's gonna, I mean, if we didn't stop and then move forward, because I can get that way too, and then I just have to realize I would never do this project if I kept on thinking I had to gather all the right information.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you're doing all this research and trying to get ready, you can make it seem like you're doing something, mm-hmm. like you're accomplishing something because you're very busy and deep involved in this research, but you're actually not doing anything except research. So, yeah, you have to put your boots to the ground.
But point. I love research, Heather. I love research.
I do too. So much. I feel like maybe I should have been an analyst or something really boring, but no, I can't.
I know. All right. I'd love to close with one last question. If you were not a stylist, what would your alternative career choice be? Besides a researcher?
Yeah, no, I really would not want to do that. A cubicle, can you imagine? That for me would be really difficult.
It would be decorated very beautifully, though.
I think, I don't know, something creative, maybe a florist, or I wish I could paint better. I would be a painter, or I'm working on pottery. I don't know, something with my hands.
Yeah.
Something from nothing with my hands, creating beauty to put it out into the world.
Well, and you do that anyways. And I think going forward too, even though the Academy next year is going to be our last one, I think what's exciting is that I could see you walking out lots of those things. And so it'll be fun to see what you decide to pursue. Absolutely. So would you tell our listeners where they can find you and your live workshops, more about the Academy, and then how they could also, if they want to look into pitch your project?
Everything is on my website, which is heatherbullard.com. I'm on Instagram, Heather Bullard.
Thanks, Heather. Thanks so much for talking today and sharing a little peek into just your process and your thoughts on things. I've loved talking with you.
Thanks for having me, Jean.
I created a free resource and mini workbook just for you. 10 tips to take back the peace for a more beautiful life. A free ebook if you're looking for some rest in your day-to-day like I was. Go to jeanoliver.com/10tips to get your free resource. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at jeanoliver.com where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. We have over 150 courses from teachers around the world. Thank you for joining me this week. Don't forget to let us know what you thought of this week's podcast and make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing. Thanks for listening and see you next time.